Dear Heavenly Father, your word says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." I pray, O God, that more and more Christians and pastors and churches will begin to understand what that means. Through this ministry, I'll give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to get right into this week's topic, God is the God of Israel, as I develop the overall theme, separation of church and state. God promised the nation Israel he would bless those that bless her and curse those who curse her. This promise was for all time. No such promise was ever made to any other nation. David understood this. He said to the Lord after the Lord proclaimed to him what is called the Davidic covenant, as recorded in 2 Samuel 7:23 through 26, David said, "And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods? For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee." To suggest that Israel has only the rights God has given to all nations is a shocking rejection of clear biblical teaching. God distinctly tells Israel that he has separated and severed her from other people, Leviticus 20:24 and 26, and that she will not be reckoned among the nations, Numbers 23:9, because he loved Israel and chose her to be a special people above all people. Deuteronomy 7:6-9 says, "For thou, speaking of Israel, art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." God promises repeatedly, as we see, for example, in Jeremiah 30:10-11. "O Israel, I am with thee to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee." The Bible identifies the true God as the God of Israel 203 times, the God of Jacob 28 times, the God of Abraham 17 times, and the God of Isaac 13 times. Never is he called the God of any other ethnic group. These designations are foundational to everything the Bible teaches, including the character of God. To profess to believe in God and at the same time to hold a prejudice against God's chosen people, the Jews, or against Israel, which turns these clear biblical identifications into meaningless titles, casts doubt upon whether one really knows the true God. The land of Israel was unconditionally given to Abraham and to his seed in the Abrahamic covenant. We read in Genesis 12:1-4. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. God said to Abraham, as recorded in Genesis 13:15, "For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." In Genesis 15:7 we read, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it." The Abrahamic covenant, as formed, as we read in Genesis 12:1-4, and confirmed in Genesis 13:14-17, 15:1-7, and 17:1-8, is in seven distinct parts. I'm going to give you the seven parts of the Abrahamic covenant, but not all of the scriptures to back up what I say. Those scriptures are all listed in section 1, chapter 8 of God Betrayed. But the seven parts of the Abrahamic covenant are as follows. First, I will make of thee a great nation. That was to be fulfilled in a threefold way, in a natural posterity as the dust of the earth, through the Hebrew people. Also in a spiritual posterity, look now toward heaven, so shall thy seed be. John 8:39, Romans 4:6, and other verses which I give in God Betrayed. Fulfilled also through Ishmael, Genesis 17:18-20. The second distinct part of the Abrahamic covenant, I will bless thee, fulfilled in two ways, temporally and spiritually. Again, the verses to support that are in God Betrayed. The third distinct part of the Abrahamic covenant, and make thy name great. Abraham's is one of the universal names. The fourth part, and thou shalt be a blessing, Galatians 3:13-14. The fifth part of the Abrahamic covenant, I will bless them that bless thee. In fulfillment, this part is closely related to the next clause, the sixth distinct part, and curse him that curseth thee. This was wonderfully fulfilled in the history of the dispersion. It has invariably fared ill with the people who have persecuted the Jew, well with those who have protected him. The future will still more remarkably prove this principle. And again, go to God Betrayed for many verses on that. I know there are false teachings circulating in the Christian world that do not teach this. They have not correctly divided the word of truth. The word of truth is very clear on these matters. The seventh distinct part of the Abrahamic covenant, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This is the great evangelistic promise fulfilled in Abraham's seed, Christ. Galatians 3:16, John 8:56-58. It brings into greater definiteness the promise of the Adamic covenant concerning the seed of the woman. See Genesis 3:15. Let me note this. The gift of the land is modified by prophecies of three dispossessions and restorations. Genesis 15:13-16. Jeremiah 25:11-12. Deuteronomy 28:62-65. And also 30:1-3. Two dispossessions and restorations have been accomplished. Israel is now in the third dispersion, from which she will be restored at the return of the Lord as king under the Davidic covenant. The Jews were restored to the land in 1948, but even then there was not a complete restoration to all the land that God gave to the Jews. That complete restoration will come in the future. Thus God made three kinds of promises in the Abrahamic covenant. First, personal promises to Abraham. Second, national promises concerning Israel. Third, universal promises that would affect all the people of the world. Some of those promises have been fulfilled, but his promises to give the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession to Abraham's physical descendants, see Genesis 17:8, and to give the Abrahamic covenant for an everlasting covenant to those same descendants, Genesis 17:7, and also verse 19, have not yet been fulfilled. The Abrahamic covenant was an everlasting covenant dependent upon God and not upon what Abraham did. An honest interpretation of Scripture will convince you that this covenant with Israel is everlasting and that the covenant is with Israel, the nation Israel, and not with the church. As I have pointed out, Israel entered the land under Joshua after Israel wandered 40 years in the wilderness under the conditional Palestinian covenant. The Palestinian covenant, which was established by God with Israel after he gave the Mosaic covenant, was separate from the Mosaic covenant. Deuteronomy 29:1 says, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb." In conjunction with the covenant, God made very significant promises to Israel. Deuteronomy 31:10 says this, quote, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out into the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies, and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. These promises are to be fulfilled with literal, not spiritual, Israel, and reveal that God always leaves the way open for unfaithful Israel to be reconciled to him. The final fulfillment of these promises to Israel is in the future. Since God intends to fulfill these promises to Israel when all the curse of Deuteronomy 28 concerning the nation Israel has been completed, this shows that literal Israel, as distinguished from the church, identified by some theologians as spiritual Israel, will survive the curse of God. God's promise to restore Israel to the land which he gave to Abraham and his descendants when all the curse of Deuteronomy 28 has been fulfilled is another guarantee of Israel's permanent ownership of that land. The word of God in the promises of the Palestinian covenant guarantees that literal Israel will repent and become saved in the future. I'll get into that teaching later. I'll take up with this teaching in the next 15-minute segment. These programs are being archived on the radio broadcast page of churchandstatelaw.com. Also there you'll find many resources which will help you in these studies. For example, you can go to the blog page of churchandstatelaw.com and find all of my blog articles and audio teachings. I hope you'll join me after the break when I will continue this study, God is the God of Israel.